Welcome to Vet Radio, a program designed to inform veterans and their families of key issues facing today's military veterans, and a service of the Save America Foundation. Here now is your Vet Radio host, Len Pagano.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to Vet Radio. It's good to be here with you today. And today's going to have a really kind of a special show because I'm going to be interviewing the person who runs Safe America's Veterans Program. And it just happens that I know this person fairly well. It's my wife, Mary Lou Pagano. Welcome, Mary Lou.
Thank you so much. It's a delight for me to be here.
It's just nice to see you today. Well, as we kind of get started here, I will just acknowledge for some of the folks out there who may not know too much about Safe America. The Safe America Foundation is headquartered here in Atlanta. And about 2 years ago, we were encouraged by some of our board members to start a program for veterans. And we really have several names for the veterans program, but the one that seems to resonate the most is called Homefront. And that's because it's a facility actually here in Atlanta at Atlanta Medical Center, WellStars Atlanta Medical Center, where we, I'm going to let Mary Lou say exactly what we do there. But this program, which is about 2 years old, I know that a lot of you veterans out there will be pleased to hear the things that we do today. And that's why I asked Mary Lou to come on so we could really get into some detail. But let me start, Mary Lou, with a very simple, basic question. And that is, what is the goal of Safe America's Veterans Program?
Yeah, thanks, Len. Well, it's really a very much of a joy for me to talk about it because I have a passion for this program. Our goal is simply to help veterans when they come back home to transition back smoothly.
And when you look at all the things that are out there, there's certainly many different organizations, veteran service organizations. What would you say is Safe America's focal point over all of the existing groups, which there were many out there before we started this program? Mm-hmm. What would you say is our particular piece?
Yeah, the thing that we really are trying to do is through collaborating with a number of organizations that do help veterans, offering briefings where they can come to one place and be able to access multiple resources at one time. So they're not having to go to five different locations to get the kinds of information they need about jobs, about education, about financial counseling. This is, you know, this was the whole point of our Veterans Homefront Center, is they've got one location, they can come there and meet with resource providers and a VA benefits advisor. So they can feel like it's not just if they can't get over or get to the VA or can't, you know, access the different resources available to them, they have nowhere else to turn. They do have somewhere to turn. It's the Homefront Center located in Atlanta Medical Center right there on Boulevard. And we're there to help them.
You know, to give a little further background, I'll add that how this started, in a sense, was based on conversations we had with different people in the military. And I'd point out some of the conversations with the Georgia National Guard. I, in fact, was just visiting the other day with General Joe Girard, who we've been pleased to be working with, he and his staff. For example, Chaplain Leslie Nelson. And all of the conversations we've had, one of the things that came out, this is after the wind down in Afghanistan and Iraq, were the soldiers that were coming back, especially, you know, those that were in the National Guard, really didn't have the same level of assistance that they had received during the height of the war. So, for example, in the post-service period of 90 to 120 to 6 months after they left the service, National Guardsmen were not given the same level of transitional support. So part of the problem with that is, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, really isn't always, you know, apparent in the first few months. It sometimes takes a while. And during that transition to civilian life, things may all of a sudden spur a person to, you know, kind of have flashbacks, or all of a sudden they're finding it difficult to be in a normal situation. And it can happen 6 months later, 2 years later, 6 years later. And as we're seeing now, decades later with Vietnam veterans who are now, some of them, in their 60s, beginning to recognize some of the problems that for years they really didn't, they drugged themselves or drank themselves away from a problem that now they're beginning to recognize was a result of the Vietnam War. So as we were talking with the National Guard, they were saying to us, look, with the federal funds being cut, somebody needs to play this role. Mm-hmm. And while there were many veteran service organizations like the USO or, you know, other groups were out there doing certain things that have been for decades, this particular PTSD need and or the transition to just living a normal life was not necessarily being recognized. And I remember in some of our conversations when we first said, well, we'll do something, I think one of the things that Chaplain Leslie Nelson said, first off, you don't really have to tell people, you know, hey, you've got a problem, we're here to help. Mm-hmm. The issue was listen, mm-hmm. do events, socialize with people in a way where they can feel like they want to trust you, or mm-hmm. if there's something they want to share, that they will open up just yep. naturally. Yep. And I'm going to say with the events that we've done over the last two mm-hmm. years, and Mary Lou, you've helped run the events that we had at the mm-hmm. Georgia Aquarium for over mm-hmm. 700 veterans and their family members, mm-hmm. the Delta Flight Museum, the Atlanta Knights hockey games last year and this year, and all of these and other events being planned for the future, you've been able to see veterans come, have a good time. Mm-hmm. And would you say that the outcome of those events have made a difference?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that the Guard had suggested to us was this would be a way for guardsmen to really connect with each other, that there really isn't any other way. As you said, the resources are not available to them. Their funding was greatly cut this past September. And so with doing these events, it's been a very positive thing, and a positive thing for them to have something to do with their families. So, yeah, I think it's had a very good effect, and as well as the briefings and other work that we've done.
And I think you also have a specific example of somebody who walked away with a job.
Yeah, what actually it did happen, Len, because we do connect with our partners through the Community Blueprint Organization, Goodwill was at one of our events at the Atlanta Gladiators game. And it was at that game that a veteran came because we were doing this, and they were able to connect with Goodwill, and then through them, get a really good job. So yes, that is the goal for these different events and for the briefings as well, where we bring together people like Georgia Department of Labor, Goodwill, Veterans Upward Bound Movement, Action Ministries, a whole host of different organizations, the VEC, the Vet Center, absolutely fabulous resources that the veteran may not realize are out there ready to assist them in any way they can, because when they come back from serving, and you know what, these guys and gals, they go over and overseas, and they've put their themselves really literally on the line there for all of us. They come back, and it's really overwhelming to try to transition back to civilian life. So whatever we can do to help is a small thank you.
You know, one of the things that has been interesting, Mary Lou, to me in the process of building this program from scratch, and again, there were many other people out there, but as we were trying to fill a need, what's been intriguing to me is the process of bringing people together. Mm-hmm. You know, and there have been diverse groups that ordinarily you'd say, shoot, this organization or this company had nothing of interest or no vested interest. For example, let's just talk about some of the companies that have been involved. United Distributors. Last summer, I sat down at first, then you joined me in meeting with Raul Regulado. Mm-hmm. Raul was somebody who we didn't know, but we heard about indirectly through another board member who brought him into a meeting. And we found out that he had a very strong interest. And with very little effort, we got Raul to start to work with us. And his whole interest was in trying to help serve veterans. Mm-hmm. And when he got involved, he started to bring others with him. You know, it's kind of like bringing your friends along with you. Mm-hmm. And here's a gentleman who had not been a veteran himself, but who cared so much. He went to a Hispanic company, a business in Gwinnett County, Norsan Group, which owns a series of restaurants, one of them La Frontera, with I think about 12 locations in Metro Atlanta, and then several other restaurants and Hispanic radio stations in Charlotte and other markets. This is a company kind of under the surface, you would say, had no direct reason to get involved, but they did. They started to donate money, and they went through all the restaurants. And what happened, Mary Lou?
Yeah, so really, I have to say, Lynn, you're 100% right. What we have found is that people have such a soft spot in their heart for our veterans. They love our country. They know these veterans of all ages have served and are serving and putting their lives on the line to protect us. So very interesting that you brought that up. And the Norsan Group, through their restaurants, were fabulous. They put out canisters and for donations for this program, and gave people a chance to come forward and help in whatever little way that they could. Another partner or organization who's been fabulous about working with the veterans and offering things for them is Motlick and Associates. And they are the ones that make it possible for the veterans and their families to come to the Atlanta Gladiators games. So we are seeing corporate America certainly is very interested in participating. I have learned, that a lot of the corporations actually have military groups for their employees and are looking to see if we can bring our briefings to them to offer it as a benefit to their employees, which we're thrilled to do, as well as going to other locations where there are veterans that are in, groups where we can reach them and bring the information to them. Anything we can do to make this easier on these guys and gals, we're going to do.
You know, we often love the term heroes, especially when we talk about military. I'm just going to point out a few more heroes, Mary Lou. You mentioned Motlick and Associates, and we certainly want to salute them. David Motlick and his team, Victoria Van Lee and Melinda Jeffress, they've been just delightful. But here are some other groups. Sprint. Here's a company that, is not as visible in the community in certain ways, but they jumped in and made a major investment last year.
Right.
And Mary Haraska and her colleagues, really a compliment to them. They put money out of two or three budgets together to help us launch the home front. And then you have other groups, Lockheed Martin, who has worked with us for years. Lockheed Martin has been a very big supporter of this. Cox Broadcasting, Tim McVeigh at WSB-TV, Jocelyn Dorsey. I mean, there are a number of people. And then you take a competitive organization, 11 Alive. And I think 11 Alive has been wonderful at working with us. Robin Steed, who has been a delight and has made two commitments to us 2 years in a row now. Then you look at somebody who's not yet quite on the bandwagon, but I just had lunch with today, is the woman who's regional president for United Community Bank, Tasha Katapadas. And Tasha and Harold Lyles, who works for her, and he's a senior vice president, they're very intrigued about everything Safe America is doing to help veterans. And when you look at, again, companies that you would say, where did they decide to get involved? A big shout out to Ted Kollwitz, who owns CopierNet. And Ted has been exemplary. Here's a businessman who gives a percentage of his profits every month. And Ted, you've been incredible. We want to thank you. So you look at these examples, and these are not companies, these are not Fortune 50 companies. And I think what touches me is that they cared that much. They made an investment in really a startup program. This program has started, but it's now gaining momentum. And I think what's interesting, we've talked to groups like UPS, like Coca-Cola, like Delta, and through Vetlanta, I think they're seeing the opportunity for us to coalesce and be the opportunity, the voice in the community that brings people together, much like Vetlanta has done such an incredibly positive thing. And with us having Wellstar as a new partner, and with the facility we have, we've got the ability to shelter and to host, if you will, some of the efforts that may be kind of right now not anywhere specific. So as we look toward the future of 2017, I think the opportunity here, and this is by the way, I think one of the things I would see personally is that we could be a role model for the rest of the country, that there is not one city or region in the country that has it all figured out yet. But I think the heart for veterans, I mean, Jeff Turner, Clayton County has a high population of veterans. Most people don't see that or know that, but Jeff Turner has been incredible. As the chairman of the Clayton County Commission, he's repeatedly said he wants to make a difference. He wants to be there for veterans. And I think you've had the VA turn and work with us, which, you know, again, you putting together, aggregating these wonderful resources, it to me is kind of like the favorite children's story I love to repeat, Stone Soup, where if everybody puts a little bit in, we can make a big difference.
Yeah, exactly, Len. And another phrase you always use that I love and I think is so true with this work is many hands make light work. And it's really important that everyone working in the veteran space works together and helps each other so that we can reach the people no matter what avenue we're going through. If we can just reach the veterans and let them know that there is help out there for them. And if they're having trouble accessing the help they need, they can go ahead and give us a call at Safe America, 770-973-7233. I encourage veterans to go to our website, which is safeamerica.org, and go to our veterans page on our website to see what events are coming up or what, you know, the dates for our briefings, which we're going to be holding for the rest of the summer. And just like I said, give us a call. You know, it is interesting what you said about, you know, here we are in this space and we're fairly new in it. And yet in December when it was really, I have to give you a shout out. It was Len, who suggested that we do something to help homeless women veterans to try and get them home for Christmas and for the holidays. And so in December, we started doing that. And it was amazing how as soon as we connected with one or two organizations, Salvation Army, Mary Hall Freedom House, you know, all of these different groups then would call us and say, well, we've got a mom in her car with three children or five children. And through connecting them with us and then us connecting on with the resources we knew were available, we had a good number of people, women that came out of their cars and are in homes today.
You know, to me, that was one of the most touching things we could have done, to think these women, I remember in particular hearing of one case, a woman at Ackworth truck stop living in her car with her two children. How horrific at a holiday time when we think everybody should be in a home and be comfortable. So for you to take that on personally, I was glad to be able to spotlight that issue. As a former journalist, you know, I guess I still remember Tim McVeigh and I having breakfast, and I pointed this out, and he had the heart to get the story on WSB TV the next, I think, within 2 days. So for that story to get out there that quickly, and then for us to see people gravitate to us and help us, that was very touching.
Really was wonderful, Len. And just to let everybody know, we really have such fabulous people in this community, and I want to give a shout out to Pastor Ike Reingard, who heads up Must Ministries. When Ike heard what we were doing with homeless women veterans, he is located in Cobb County and Cherokee. And he said, if it's a veteran that needs help, no matter where they live, we're going to be here to help them. And he did just that. And so veterans could go to Must Ministries and get clothing and food. And also they have housing with specific parameters. But there's a lot of wonderful resources in Atlanta. We are so blessed to live in this fabulous metro area. And again, just if there's a veteran listening in and they're having trouble accessing the resources that they need, please give us a call.
You know, one of the things that I think, again, we're trying to do here as we tell the story, and Mary Lou is sharing what it's like as a woman, as a mother, to help build a program from scratch. And I think mothers are good at that. And I say that because, you know, as you've shown with the four children you've raised, it's a learning process. It's one that comes with heart. And I think that's what really we're dealing with here is the real, if you will, energy or fuel that's driving this is heart, the heart of people that care about veterans and don't want to see them, frankly, discouraged to the point that they might want to commit suicide. And that's one of our challenges that we were really very, very much focused on. And I would point out a recent trip I took to Washington on Capitol Hill, and I just would point out that H.R. 4640, which we've been supporting, it's a piece of legislation by Florida Congressman David Folley. Very, very impressive in that it's been showing support from both Republicans and Democrats. And the Georgia Democrats, for example, our local congressman, John Lewis, has been a person who came on the bandwagon. And I understand it was partially because he heard about our efforts. And I met with his staff while I was on Capitol Hill. And they said, look, we are behind this. And then we met with our wonderful Georgia senators, Senator David Perdue, Senator Johnny Isaacson, who we've been friends with for over 30 years. Johnny and David Perdue and others all showing great support for all of the program needs of veterans. And certainly, as Senator Isaacson is a leader in the U.S. Senate, what he's Capitol Hill, there are other pieces of legislation that are coming up that we're looking at trying to help facilitate dialogue. And we'll be planning a Capitol Hill briefing on September 14th to go over this and other program needs with our friends at the UPS Foundation. And I think, again, a real salute to UPS and the people there, Ed Martinez and Joe Ruiz, Alice Turner, all of the folks at UPS, every one of them really make a difference and have been supportive of all of the agendas, really, of Safe America. The one thing that I would point out, it's not really part of this discussion, but it's our program in civil defense or preparedness, dealing with emergencies in America. I think they have been really the champion of having America be prepared, not scared, and really getting ready for these emergencies that we fear are in front of us, like those that have happened in Europe in the recent past months. So I think UPS is doing a remarkable job in the Atlanta community and worldwide, and we're looking forward to working with them on Capitol Hill and showcasing the issues that really need to be addressed over the next year. If I were going to transition to a question now, speaking of what needs to be addressed, what are some of the challenges you see coming up? What are some of the worries that you have, or where can we, you know, flip a switch and say, if we can deal with this, things will get better?
Yeah, the main challenge, Len, is getting the word out to veterans that we are here, that we have the briefings, and bringing them to a briefing so that they can connect with us, with the VA, and with other resource providers that are here ready to help them. So that, I think, is the major challenge. And we do have lots of different groups that are ready to actually help veterans and keep their personal information very private so that they don't need to worry if they are suffering from depression or any form of PTSD. They should know that there is the Vet Center in Marietta. It's also, there's one in Lawrenceville and one in South Fulton. And at that Vet Center, they can receive counseling. And just so for them to know that there are people here to help them. So the biggest challenge for me is funding so that we can continue staffing these briefings and working on this program. And then also getting the word out to the veterans and veterans groups so that we can have people attending the briefings.
You mentioned events, you mentioned briefings. One other thing I think we haven't delved into yet is the messaging through programs like this and
right.
Through our relationship, our friendship with Business Radio X, and a shout out to Lee Cantor and his colleagues here, his teammates, Red Hawk McPherson. Ryan's doing a great job. He has his own program, but I think together we're reaching out to more people, and I think it's a real salute to you. You've done a great job. I think what we're looking at also, and we look at all sorts of media, certainly we mentioned Cox already, but I wouldn't leave out anybody. I think the Atlanta Business Chronicle and people there have been wonderful to work with through our friend Bob Littell. Our board members introduced me to, I think it's Jessica Sanders over there. Otis Brumby the third, and all of the interest they have. East Cobber, here's a small publication, so to speak. It doesn't go all over the metro area, but Cynthia Rosso has done a great job of promoting us in the current June issue. And what we're trying to do here is get into all the possible media to get the story out, as you're saying, Mary Lou. So one of the things we're looking at, this program, which we call Vet Radio, our plan is to continue producing episodes on a regular basis. And then on a visual level, we're looking at creating something called Vet TV, which will be online at safeamerica.org. In fact, we're planning a new episode this summer with Joe Washington, who used to be at 11 Alive for many years, was there and at Turner Broadcasting. And I think what we're trying to do is to tell the story from both the veteran's perspective and to create a single channel so they don't have to go to 40 websites. And all of the different groups, you mentioned earlier, the work we're doing with the Red Cross, with Olivia Garrison there, with the Salvation Army, with all Goodwill, with all the groups, well-known and not so well-known. We're trying to bring them together. And for those that are old enough to remember Ed Sullivan, CBS, 1960s, 70s, and early 80s, Ed Sullivan was a master at bringing talent to one stage on a Sunday night. We're trying to bring all of the talent, all the resources together, not to, in any sense, divert them, not to, if you will, duplicate them, but to let them have a common stage so we know what Goodwill is doing. We know what Red Cross is doing. We know what the Salvation Army, with all of the various groups, are doing. And where those are new entrepreneurial upstart organizations, we're trying to also get them to be part of this story so they get out there. And everybody who wants to do something like a rafting trip or going down, there's some special areas of recreation that we've been very impressed with, and we're trying to let everybody get out there. And I see all of this as something that you would have to say is a evolution in how nonprofits work, because a lot of times people know that nonprofits have to raise money, and a lot of nonprofits compete for money. So at the end of the day, to try to bring nonprofits together and say, we're not going to fight each other for the same buck. We want everybody here to have the funds they need and to try to bring together the community as a whole. That's game changing. And I would point out all of this in the back of my mind. The person who stimulated me to think this way was somebody who has been an icon in Atlanta circles for years. And that's a gentleman from now retired, but he's never retired from life, and that's Pete McTeer of the Woodruff Foundation. Pete McTeer helped us understand the importance of bringing people together to avoid duplication, and so I would salute Pete and the Woodruff Foundation, which is a landmark organization. We are just proud of the history we've had and wonderful things that they have done, and I would just salute them and say, in a sense, we're doing this as a bit of a legacy to what I learned through Pete McTeer personally. So all that said, I think what we're doing now, Mary Lou, is we're telling the story of where we want to go next. And if I said, where could you use help and where are we going next?
Oh, yeah, that's really, thank you, Lynn. Listen, anybody listening in, if you would be interested in helping with this program, you can volunteer in a number of ways. We have a wonderful lady who retired from WellStar, Ann Parsons, who's been volunteering with us, and she has just been beating the bushes to get the word out, bringing flyers out around to businesses and groups about these briefings. So you can volunteer with us by helping us with getting the word out on social media. Any help with that would be greatly appreciated, or on site at the briefing themselves, helping us to set up and get ready for the briefings, helping us with outreach to different veterans resource groups to get them scheduled in for some of our briefings. We also have a database of all of the resources available in this Metro Atlanta area. That database still needs work done on it. So anyone who's good on the computer could assist us by volunteering to do that.
You know, you mentioned briefings. I think one I don't know that we've stressed yet today is the fact that now Georgia Power has talked to us. And in terms of working with Georgia Power, I think Lisa Smith, who's a Safe America board member and has been very proactive, and I think she's reached out to say something about how we can work with Georgia Power and their employees who are veterans. And I think this is a role model, wouldn't you say, Mary Lou, for what we could do with other companies?
Absolutely. We're ready to come to any company that has a military group for their employees and come and do a briefing on site for them.
And I was also this week meeting with General Joe Girard and the Deputy Adjutant General for Georgia, Joe Ferrero. Both are Joes. So the Deputy General Joe and the actual Adjutant General Joe Girard were speaking to me about how we could work with the Georgia National Guard. And he pointed out, you know, the young people, not just the adults, but now maybe engaging youth. And we have a program that we're working with a foundation out of New York, a foundation called New York Thanks You. And after 9/11, this foundation was put together, and their whole focus is to basically help people that are recovering from a disaster. And for example, after San Bernardino, they had young people around the country who were given boxes of stars, of artwork, if you will, the basic raw materials to color with crayons, with paint, with different, you know, different markers, and write messages to the people who suffered through San Bernardino. They had hundreds of these boxes that were distributed and then sent and delivered to the community of San Bernardino and then put out all over San Bernardino with touching messages that America is behind you. We're sorry for what happened. Very, very touching. This was just one example. They've done this in Paris, in Brussels, in communities hit by tornadoes. Well, this particular group led by Jeff Parnes came to Safe America earlier this summer, and they said, we'd like to have this done through Safe America with young people. Well, I brought this up to General Girard, who thinks this would be great. And actually, the Georgia National Guard has a program for young people. And he said, maybe we can do that during camps this summer. And I'm bringing this up because obviously this program is all about helping veterans. And yet, here's an example of veterans wanting to help American communities that might suffer in the future from tragedies. And so I think this is a nice story because it shows the reciprocity between veterans who don't stop service, do they, when they take the uniform off. Mm-hmm. They're still there serving. And here was General Joe Girard. Again, my compliments to the general for his considerate thought of how the Georgia National Guard's men and women and their families can do something. And I was there to talk about what we could do to help them. So talk about a wonderful leader. I think that our good governor, Nathan Deal, did a great job in selecting General Girard for the adjutant general position. And so we look forward to working with you, General Girard, and with your deputy adjutant general, Joe Ferrero. And we're going to be looking at meetings later this summer when we can actually bring everybody together and get this kind of effort out there so that young people can be engaged. And they don't have to have a military family. We'll certainly engage others. For example, we met with the Episcopal Bishop of Atlanta, Robert Wright, who likes some of these ideas and wants to engage young people from Episcopal parishes across Georgia and to see a new generation of thinking and leadership, you know, whether it's in the military, the religious community, the business community, media. Yeah. I think Georgia is seeing a new evolution in how people think and are ready to be activated. And I think the power of this is going to be great to see.
Yeah, you know, Lena, and maybe really what we've learned is something from this younger generation who are on social media and communicate that way. Well, there's always the negative. We want them to get off their phones and off the computer so that they'll communicate one-on-one in person with people. Look at how they have been able to connect broadly with others through social media. And so what it's telling us is we are all connected. We're one circle of people, and really people can heal each other even through terrible tragedies, like through something like these Stars of Hope from the New York Says Thank You Foundation, which benefited so much from people all around the country after 9/11, the outpouring of compassion and help for New Yorkers touched a deep chord in them.
Well, you know, to see, again, we talk about veterans and we think about service and helping those who've served. At the same time, we're giving people who have never been in the military a chance to serve. And I think this is one of the exciting things about a program, the Safe America programming, whether it's this area of service to veterans, whether you look at our other new areas where we're looking at human trafficking and how to combat that horrific issue. And the people that are stepping forward are not necessarily the ones that you would say initially, oh yeah, it's logical that this person's stepping forward. I mean, we had a meeting in Clayton County at the police department just a week ago with a variety of people. And again, I'll use Lisa Smith at Georgia Power to see her enthusiasm, to see Kim Ryan, who's the head of WellStar's Atlanta Medical Center, to see her efforts to volunteer without even being prompted. Michael Hightower, Jeff Turner, all of those individuals, others representing Aerotropolis, the Airport Chamber of Commerce, the Clayton County Chamber of Commerce. When you think about these groups, It wasn't the Atlanta Chamber of Commerce stepping forward, and no slight meant to be. I'm an alumni. I worked at the Atlanta Chamber for almost 5 years. But to see suburban chambers care that much about issues that impact all of us was touching. And to see what I think is the next generation of leadership. And so I think, Mary Lou, your point about being able to say, if folks are out there and they want to help, we're ready to put you into service.
Right. Yep.
So with that said, I think we're about at the point where we're ready to say goodbye to this episode of Vet Radio. And again, for those listening in, we hope that you will feel free to share this with others. If you're in a veteran service organization, please know we're ready to work with you. If you're a nonprofit, we're ready to also partner with you. And for our friends across the scale, from media to business communities to other leaders, we hope you see in this a chance to serve as well as to help us, because our goal is to make a difference, to make a significant difference. And back to our friends here, Lee Cantor and Cantor, I'm mispronouncing our friend's name here, but Business Radio X, we want to thank you for your support in getting this out there. And Red Hawk, you're a good man.
Yeah, you sure are.
So we appreciate the opportunity here today. For all of you listening in, thanks for being with us. Feel free to share this. Help this go viral. And we'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thanks for joining us for Vet Radio, a co-production of Business Radio X and the Safe America Foundation. To learn more about Safe America's programming for veterans and their families, visit safeamerica.org. Or call the Safe America Foundation at 770-973-SAFE. This is Joe Washington, and thanks for joining us.